In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is in
our. So today we have the Sunday of the Republican and the Pharisee. No, that's not quite right. The Publican and the Pharisee. So, interestingly enough, the fact that we call it the Publican and the Pharisee is interesting because publican is actually the Latin word for what by that time had become known as a tax collector. But publicans actually had existed in the Roman Empire for a couple hundred years before the time of Christ. And a publican was literally just a contractor. It was someone who contracted with the Roman government. And initially, they weren't really tax collectors. They were people who did buildings, public work buildings. They actually kind of were the general contractor, making sure that the building got built correctly. And they did some collecting of duties at ports and that kind of thing. But then by the time Christ came around, the word publican literally just meant a tax collector. And so we have this great parable of the publican and the Pharisee. And I want to read the story from St. Nikolai of Zycha's homily about the publican and the Pharisee. He says, "A man went into the forest to choose a tree from which to make roof beams. And he saw two trees, one beside the other. One was smooth and tall, but had rotted away inside. And the other was rough on the outside and ugly, but its core was healthy. The man sighed and said to himself, 'What use is this tree to me if it is rotten inside and useless for beams? The other, it is rough and ugly, is at least healthy on the inside. And so, if I put a bit more effort into it, I can use it for the roof beams of my house.' And without thinking any more about it, he chose that tree." So I think you see how this applies to the parable today. In the parable today, the Pharisee is the one who looked beautiful on the outside. He did all the ascetical things and more that he was supposed to do. But he was rotten on the inside because he did it in a spirit of judgment. Whereas the publican, which is I mentioned on Zacchaeus Sunday, was the most hated of anyone because not only was he stealing from the people by skimming some stuff off top when he collected the taxes, but he was a traitor to his people as well. You know, he was supporting the empire that had taken over Jerusalem. And so on the outside, you know, he was the absolute worst, but on the inside, he was truly seeking his salvation. And this is such a great point about judging. You know, it's interesting, in America, for some reason in Christianity, it's thought that sexual sins are the worst sins. But, you know, I mean, there obviously sexual sins are you know, all sin is sin, it's missing the mark, it's bad. But the sins that we're not forgiven for is not forgiving others. It's really clear. If we don't forgive others, we're not forgiven. And I'm going to talk more about forgiveness, obviously, in a couple of weeks on Forgiveness Sunday. So I don't want to go too far down that path. But ultimately, what is not forgiving others? It's judging them. It's setting ourselves up in the place of judge. And we all do it so easily. Forgive me, I should not say that. I should not assume that there's not some saint sitting here in this room. But I know I do it so easily. I see someone's outward appearance and I go, I know that person, I understand that person. And it's so false. It's so false all the time. When we look at someone else, what we should see is Christ. Because each and every one of us, each and every human being was created in the image and likeness of God. And what a gift that is. What a gift it is that we don't have to look at other people and say, well, I understand him. I can set myself up as judge. And, you know, that's actually a burden. That's actually all sin is a burden. And that's a very heavy one to live our life in that way that keeps people away and pulls us away from God. And so people, excuse me, people who were in the temple during this parable, which is, you know, it's a story, it's a parable. So anyway, it's not that it really happened. But people who were in the temple would look at these two men and they would say, there's a Pharisee. A Pharisee, we think of Pharisees as, you know, oh, you're being pharisaical, you know, you're being a hypocrite like the Pharisees. But they were highly, highly respected. They were the bishops and the priests and the monks and the, you know, they were the clergy of the day. So people would look at the Pharisee and assume because he's going through the steps that he was a holy man. And they'd look at the publican, and because he was a tax collector, they would assume that he was the worst of all sinners. And in actuality, as Christ tells us, the publican left justified because he was humble and he was seeking his salvation, whereas the Pharisee was putting his faith in his ascetical efforts. I'm going to be talking a lot about asceticism during Lent because there's a lot of misunderstandings about it. And the one misunderstanding about it is it's this checklist. If I do this, 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 and this, we'll be saved. And that's not true. Asceticism, all asceticism is training us to be more Christ-like, using the gifts that God has given us through the church, training us to be more Christ-like. It's not earning our way into salvation. It's not, you know, denying ourselves to punish ourselves for our sin. It's none of those things. It's seeking to control our will, to turn our will over to God's will. I'm going to say it one more time. Asceticism is simply training ourselves to be more Christ-like. And that's not what the Pharisee was doing. That's what the publican was doing. Because the first step in our ascetical life is not giving up meat or dairy. It's seeking to give up our sin, and it's repenting of our sins when we do fall. And what a beautiful, beautiful gift that God has given us, that we can enter into his joy through these gifts he has given us. Because ultimately, that's what it is. Asceticism is not a life of, you know, whacking yourself in the head with a stick as you chant. It's a life of joyful struggle. It should be a joy. And that's not to say it's always going to be easy. It's not meant to be easy, but it should be joyful. So let us, like the publican, like the tax collector, when we fast and when we do our ascetical practices, do them with a spirit of humility and repentance for our salvation, for the salvation of those around us. And hey, one more thing, this is a non-fasting week. That's why we have this week, to remind us that we're not saved by our fasting. So enjoy your burgers and your barbecue and your beer on Wednesday and Friday. And to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.